Yeah, I don't know where our stand is, so they're bringing a desk over. That's fine, just so I can put something, so I can put this Bible down. But stay in worship, because I feel like the Lord just has a few things, okay? We'll be really simple, because we want to get back in his presence. And so, Ricky, if you can stay maybe somewhere in the close. You don't have to play necessarily, but just the rest of you go somewhere else. But, okay, so this is what I felt like God was saying, and I think we have it, Jeremiah 6:16. I remember this so vividly when we were in Mexico. In Tijuana, we brought a team of 50. It was a powerful time, but I had mentioned this last week that I believe what God was doing is he was creating family. And at that time, I remember there was some level, the last time I had sensed that really was, the last time I sensed what I'm sensing now was back in Mexico. Just so much has come up about that precious time that we have had together in 2015. And when I was thinking about it, I remember giving a call to our church. There's this hour now that God is calling us again to go and pick the ancient paths. Again, coming to his, back to his heart, back to that burning presence of the Lord, coming back to the fire of God. Maybe some of our hearts have grown cold. Maybe some of us have done missions out of a place of duty, not out of a place of pleasure, out of a place of friendship. And so he just literally gives us, it's the crossroads, the fork in the road. We come to it. There's two paths, and God says, here it is. Because of all the things that you've experienced, of all the distractions and the giving in to pleasures of the world and all this thing. Plus, at the same time, there's a mixture of giving into the things of God. I mean, finding you know, look, it's a fence. It's on the fence. Many of us, you know, one foot's over here, one foot's over here in the world. One, and God says you can't do both with passion. It's impossible to do that. And again, I believe God is calling us to that crossroads again as a church. It's just an acknowledgement and saying, he's just asking us, which one are you going to pick? In this hour, it's like my joy is to go to the ancient paths. My joy is to take your word at his word, to believe you, to trust you, and to go deeper in my identity, go deeper in your character, to go deeper in the pleasures of God. That is the invitation this morning. And so when we started, Nicole and I started this church 6 years ago, seven, because we had a year of planning, but 6 years ago, we've been on the ground. I felt like God was, again, reminding me this weekend, again, of just if you kind of take a journey with me, if you remember some of those guys who have been here for 6 years, who were invited in, those were sweet moments. Those were times where all we did was invite people into Jesus. They weren't invited into Christianity. They weren't invited into mission and purpose and all those things. Were invited into Jesus, and they found him to be true. They found him to be true. Their hearts began to burn. It says in Luke 24, when we talk about Jesus, their hearts would burn. Do you remember those days? Some of you experience them even now. Your heart just burns. You ever feel that fire in your belly? Just just, you know, sometimes we feel that when we're in the world, when something exciting would happen. We're going over on a trip, not a mission trip, but a vacation, or someone gets us a present. Just the warm, that fire, God is wanting to produce that when we talk about Jesus. It's possible. And so we're inviting people in to discipleship and to walking with Jesus and to find joy and peace. And it was an amazing time. I don't know how many stayed. I mean, we offered them was Jesus. I mean, we didn't have a church. It was 15, 20, 25. Some of you know those days in the point where there was that long, dark hallway at one of the apartments here on campus. And we just invite people in, and people would sit there with the Bibles Nicole's like, they need lyrics. They need lyrics there because they don't know how to worship. And so we're just very intimidating. And it just, there wasn't that culture that was set, but people were falling more in love with God during those years. It was powerful. The word of God was central. The Lord of God was clear. He was saving people. He was drawing people into himself. Then the next few years, it was a highlight on family. He says it like this, that God is a father to the fatherless, and he invites the lonely. He invites the lonely into families. He tells them, hey, there's not only this God who loves you, but there's a family who does as well. It's learning how to be family. It was a precious time. It was an incredible time where God was moving in our church. And Thank you, Tyler and Sarah. You were the front runners of those getting married during those times, and about the fourth year in, and he was doing so much. People were staying. People were getting jobs. People were like, man, I like this. This is a good family. I want to be here. I want to see Christ formed in one another. It was amazing. Book of Acts. It was coming alive. They were seeing it right before their eyes. It was a precious time. There was no bitterness, no disillusionment. I mean, just life was happening. It was just that euphoric stage. I mean, we've all had those times with the Lord. It's just that everything just kind of seems right and good. And then during that time, during that pruning season in Mexico, and I just remember him just again calling us up again. And we were called up, and you know what happened? We sought Jesus together. We confessed our sins together. It was a big confess fest, and it was like everybody was confessing their sin. It was just like, we want to be right with God, and we love God, and he's good, he's true. Something broke, and it was powerful. It was amazing. And that invitation again is for us today. Being called back into himself, being called back into family is an invitation for family. And the lonely were no longer lonely anymore. They went home a different, in fact, they went home so different than Southwest Airlines, their flight attendants, that they were so impressed by our group. I remember we were singing Happy Birthday to Britt at the time, and she wore this goofy hat with pretzels and little stir sticks, and they just made a makeshift birthday hat, and they had everybody turn on the lights as candles, and we blew them out. And not only were the flight attendants impacted, but the whole plane was just blessed by it. They got up with the guitar and just blessed her and honored family, and they saw it enough so that they wrote a letter to us at the end saying, we've never seen a group quite like you guys. You guys are changing the world. This flight will ever be remembered, San Diego to Orlando. Thank you. So powerful. When we encounter Jesus, we end up being light to the world. We end up being salt to the world. We end up being influencers. That's who we're called to be. But it wasn't out of the sense of, we're going to do it. We're going to try harder. We're going to be light. We're going to do this. It was just out of, God, I want to know you. I want to encounter you in the presence of God. Just remember how many people were just getting encountered in those early days. It was so precious. And then the last couple of years, there's been this great emphasis on nations and calling to the nations. In Matthew 24:14, he's called us to finish the task. And guys, it's being finished in our midst. These are the last days. And it's good. He's called us to be sober-minded, to be sober in the spirit, 1 Peter 4:7. Why? For the purpose of prayer. He's called us to be quickening, be more quickened to the Spirit, to not grieve the Spirit on the side of grieving him with our sin, the sin habits, the pleasures of this world. But he's called us to also not only not to grieve him, to stay away from things, but he's called us into something greater. He says, don't grieve my Spirit and hurt me, but also don't quench my Spirit. You got to hear my voice so that you can take land. And I want to teach you how to be light. I want to teach you how to be salt. Isn't that good? He's the great teacher, the Holy Spirit. And he's teaching us how to be light and salt and take land in this hour that Joshua 1 mandate, that wherever you tread your feet, the land is yours. It's so good. And we sent another 50, but we doubled it, man. We just sent 100 people to Colombia and did an amazing base camp. And for those people who are on the base camp, we sent a bunch of 22, 23, 24-year-olds. They did a fabulous job. We learned a lot from it. We're going to do it all over again in Japan. But it was an awesome time of learning. You know what I loved about it? It was just a bunch of radical, Jesus-loving family just going and taking land in Colombia. It was awesome. It was great. It was precious. Don't ever forget those days. But God is doing something new among you. He's wanting us to consecrate ourselves. He's wanting us to take a step back and say, God, what do you have for me in this season? How do you want me to be salt in my workplace? How do you want me to be light around? How do you want me to walk with the light, be in the light, and be light? That's what he's calling us to in this hour. And he's going to teach us through the power of the Holy Spirit, not our flesh, not performance, not trying to be better than the next and the right. There is a spirit of competition and comparison in our day. And God wants us to break it so that we can learn 1 Corinthians 12, learn how to be the eyes of the body, the arms of the body, the hands, the feet, the ears. We all are called to uniqueness. And it says in 1 Peter 4, there's a call to not only be sober in the spirit, but what he's calling us to is, if you have a gift of serving, serve. If you have a gift of speaking, speak. If you have a gift of decide, whatever it is, do it in this hour. And love covers a multitude of sins. What he's telling us is this. He's inviting us into prayer. He's inviting us into family. And he's inviting us again into our purpose so that we can be light and salt. That is what he's calling us to. But we need more of Jesus. You know, as I look and reflect on the 100 people going to Columbia, I mean, you know, you go to Waco now, you go to different places and people now know about it. I mean, they're just like, wow, you guys are that church, right? That sends like, you know, over half your church, 75% of your church to the nations. I said, that's great. But if we don't get more of Jesus, that thing's done in 6 months. We need more of Jesus. We need more of his presence. We need to know why we're doing it. It says, you know, in James, it says the reason why we don't have is because we don't ask. But when we ask with the wrong motives, and that's why we don't have. We are called to ask the right motives. The right motives. God, I want to go to the nations, but I want to do it the right heart. Because you are a great provider, and you will provide. The question is not in the provision. The question is in the heart. The question is always in the heart. Money is no object to God. But it's our choice to say, I want to sign up. The mission never changes. What changes is our heart posture towards him. Our heart needs, again, a re-up in the presence of God. He's calling us back in so that we can go for 25, 30 plus more years until Jesus comes back. The time is near. Be sober. Be sober-minded. Be sober in the spirit. It's a good word. First couple of years is just an invitation to come in to Jesus. The second couple of years was an invitation for family that'll never change. Those who are new here, welcome to the family. Amen. Can I just say, we can invite all we want, but eventually you got to believe it. Eventually you got to believe that you are family. Eventually you got to believe that you have something to give. Eventually you got to believe that you're loved by God and all those things, and we can help. But at the end of the day, you got to believe it. And wherever there's bitterness in our hearts towards the mission of God and towards the people of God, let's get right with him. Because joy is our meter. If we don't have joy when we go, something's not right. And I long for a church that in our go is what Isaiah 55 verse 12 says. It's our mandate. It's our passage. Read that. Memorize it. Know it. I want to preach on it now, but I can't. It's so good that we will call the people we don't know, and those people we don't know will come running and obey. Come and find grace in the first part. Ho, it just means like, come. It's an exuberant call of joy. It's just, come on, come to the throne room. Be bold, come and receive grace. It says his word will never return void. He says his ways are higher than our ways. And he says it really at the end, he says it like this. He says, I will send you out. Here's the power for mission. Orlando, you are called to missions. You're called to finish the task. Here's the deal. You will go out in joy and peace. Amen. And if you don't have joy of the Lord that comes from his presence, you'll get halfway across the ocean and find out, why am I doing this? You'll find the anxiety will come, the anxiousness, the why, the I could be at home, I could be making money, I could be this, I could be that. You'll have doubt in your minds, and when you get there, you'll have no peace to give away. Because peace has been robbed because of the vacancy that we allowed in because of the lack of intimacy. Where there's vacancy, the enemy comes in. Where there's prayerlessness, there's an open door for the enemy to come in and put something there that we don't want. Demons make horrible pets, and we don't want anything that doesn't look like Jesus. So this hour, we want to call people again to the Isaiah 61. We want people to come in and be set free from things, from bondage, from whatever it is. And can I just say, to the measure of your vulnerability, I've said this for years, for the measure of your vulnerability, to the measure of your freedom, if there is no vulnerability in the people of God, there's no breakthrough. And God is calling us, and I believe that the reason, I mean, it was precious, and ADS, we were all getting a circle. I was like, what happened this morning? Silence came. I said, no. What happened this morning? I love my church. I know my church. I know the state of our flock. I know when we experience joy together. I know that there's intimacy. I know that there's vulnerability. And what happened? And Catherine just said it so simply. We had a hard break. It was hard. We forgot Jesus. We didn't put him at the center. We're disillusioned. We went home with family. People are far from God. There was no fellowship. And I can't wait to go home to see the people of God. But the problem is there's a lack of vulnerability. And because there's a lack of vulnerability, we just had a fake smile on our face. And we got through the day and we never encountered God. It was something like that, right? I mean, maybe with a little bit more revelation as we went. But that's what happened. And he's calling us back in to vulnerability, to say, I'm weak. I'm called to be an evangelist, but I have no power. Would you lay hands on me? I want power. I'm called to hospitality, but I'm so anxious. I got so many things going on that I can't see the people in front of me. It's a spiritual gift, hospitality. This is in 1 Peter 4. It says, literally says, be hospitable in that passage that I just read to you. It says, be hospitable. I just need to read it. So good. So powerful. It's the word of God. It changes us. It says, the end of all things is near. If you didn't believe me, believe Peter. Therefore, be a sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Can I say that Jesus is an end, not a means to an end? Prayer is an end, not a means to an end. It's not to get what we want, but it's to get him. So why we're being sober, so why we say no to the junk is so we get more of him, not because we have a better ministry or a better job or more money or this or that or the other. It's so we get more of him. And that brings great conviction of our hearts. If we need to just even confess to our right and left, let it be for the purpose of prayer, for the purpose of him. Why have I would rather have my proud selfishness broken in front of man to get more of him? Is it worth it? Isn't it worth it to let our pride break in front of our friends so that we get more of him? And what I know about when you get more of him, we get more of one another with the right heart and the right spirit. We can then be hospitable. We can invite people in, not with an anxious heart, not with so many things and busyness going on, but we can invite people in and we can just say, I just want to break bread with you, and the humility of it. You know, that's one of the most humble things you can do. Well, I love the gift of hospitality because it's so simple. It's just breaking bread. There's no audience, but a few in all of heaven in our obedience to it. He's just calling us to be humble again. He's calling us to be, re-up in honor again. To honor one another. I see something in you. I love it in you. I want to see more of that. And I bless you. I bless your kids. I bless your future. If you don't have them, you will have them. Bless their kids. Bless their families. But we have pregnancies in our midst. Praise the Lord. May there be more. All right. All right. But we never change. We're the people of God. I want to come here 20 years from now, walking across the street where we live, coming over here and just being like, it's just more richer and richer until we see his face fully. How many of us want a life like that? That's what we're called into. We're called into the more of God. We're called into his deepening relationships with him and with one another. And then he will call us out. And it says in verse 13, Isaiah 55, it says it like this, that there will be a transformation in the desert, but there's a flow. There's a way in which things work. There's a flow. It says in Psalm 73, that the nearness of God is my good, that I run and find refuge in him, that I may tell of his works to the world. That's what world mandate's all about. It's just worship God and change the world. But the only way that happens is if we find that God is our nearness and he's our pleasure. He is our goodness. And the boundary lines have fallen in good places. And instead of running, it says in Psalm 16, instead of running to the gods of this world, instead of running to the other gods our sorrows will multiply, it said. But when we find him to be good, when we wake up in the morning, when we're wanting to lust for somebody else's life, or we want this or we want that, when we find out the boundary lines have been fallen in good places and we look at him, there's pleasure. There's pleasure and breakthrough. And then there's power to see a transformation in the desert. And we live in desert times. But God's called us to make what is dry flowing with living water. And what it says in Deuteronomy 29, as I read, I don't know if you caught that, but in our stubbornness, in our pride, in our lack of receiving, it says that we've made what was wet and what was flowing dry. You see the revelation? Isn't that great? He wants to, where we're dry, he wants to make flowing with living waters. He wants to do something new in you. But that is only when we receive his grace. But when we put the hand up towards him and the people of God that want to give you more, that want to bless you, want to increase your life, want to bless, I mean, I have no other motives but to bless Phil and Lily and the next generation of the college students. There's no other joy than to bless Daniela in the prophetic ministry. Dream dreams, young woman of God. Dream dreams so that people may know him. It's just getting behind one another so that there's a transformation in the desert. So that in place of stinging nettles and thorn bushes, there's cypress trees and there's crepe myrtles. There's people who have, the worship team, there is beauty in them. And it is beauty. They are a sign of the crepe myrtles, the beauty of God. The cypress trees rising up. They're the coals. They're the hunters. They're cypress trees rising up. They're the people of God saying, we are pillars of truth in this hour. We're evangelists to preach the word of God, to disciple men and women. Yeah. That is who they are. It is a sign. It is a literal sign, a visible sign of his power, his beauty, and his love. We are called to be light in this hour. We're called to take land. But man, we are desperate for Jesus in his presence in this hour. If you wonder what the word of the Lord is, it's more of Jesus. It is called to be salt and light. These are themes we'll be playing on over and over again. But he has called us again to prepare the way, to consecrate yourselves so that the fire of God will come into our living room, come into our bedroom, not just the house of God, but you are the house of God. You are the houses of God. Do you know that? Do you know that there's light living in you, that wherever you go, you shine? If you're worried about the darkness, light a match. If you're worried about how little that matches, get about a bunch of people of God and create a bonfire with the family of God in the nations. That is who we're called to be. We're called to be fire, light, through the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's only done in our surrender. When we surrender, we say, God, no more to the dryness, but would you, like living waters, flow through us? That is what he's calling us to. But in our pride, we take what was once flowing and we make it dry. We can't afford to do that, because people need to taste and see that the Lord is good. And we need to put aside our bitterness. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Do we love one another? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Here's what I do. I walk into the presence of God in the morning, and I pray for my family that they, Caleb, Eli, Ella, and Judith, may they encounter God. May we stick together. May we change the world together. I pray that they would have a listening ear, cultivate a listening ear in them, cultivate a listening ear. May they be the people of God. May they lead this church in the coming days. May they lead this generation into the presence of God. May they know God fuller, more fuller than I know God. In Jesus' name, may it happen in this generation through our kids, through Caleb, Eli, and John. I pray, God, for their spouses. God, I pray for their spouses. I pray, God, that we would become family. I pray that there wouldn't be any in-law trouble, or, you know, we would be one family. We'd be family. We learn how to live together. Can I just say in John 14 that here's how good the Father is. In that time, he says, I built many mansions for you. And do you know what that meant? Well, as I was reading the background to that, I just got rocked in Japan all over again, and I realized the heart of God and what God's called us to be. The fathers in that day, it's the reason why we talk about family so much. The fathers in those days, they'd have their houses and their sons would go off and they get married. And when they get married, they build extensions on their house. Enough space, enough closeness to be family, but enough space to leave and cleave and let them have their life. But there was enough space. There was a garden. There was a sanctuary, a big space, a common area where families would be families. That's what he meant by he's building many places. In other words, in heaven, we're close. We don't want, you know, it's not heavenly. It's not the Spirit of God on us when we say, I just want to be alone. I'm tired of people. Can I just say that it won't be a countryside, it'll be a city. And it'll be a city because we're meant to be with one another. The only problem we don't want to be with each other is because we're embittered. And love covers a multitude of sins. Come on. We are called to love one another. All right. It says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. How many of us are complaining for one another? How many of us out of our lips this week and this month have talked bad about the people of God? I can't afford to talk to God about the people of God in a negative light. You are the people of God, and there might be a rub, but I will pray for you. It will bless our enemies. I bless them. I bless them in the name of Jesus. I bless those we have a rub with. That is how we live. And I'm telling you, not only did their hearts change, but yours does in the process. All right. And as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as the good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do it so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Don't be quick to speak unless you know it's from the Lord. That is the fear of God in this hour. Don't be so quick to speak. Don't be so quick to know just what God is saying. It says in James 3, we're to wait. And it's a high calling for those who want to speak so quickly, those who want a ministry, those who want a platform. It's the fear of God. You should see behind the scenes. Oh man, sometimes I feel like, God, let it be you, let it be you, let it be you, let it be you, let it be you. To the point sometimes I take it to the other extreme. God just like, just get up there and speak my word. I've anointed you for this. It's no cheap thing to just, as a life group leader, to just get before your people and just start blabbing about things that may not be from the Lord. Let us in this hour have a humility about us, a way about us. Whoever serves, do it as the one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. When we serve, whether it's hospitality or whether it's whatever it is, we want to serve with his strength, not our own. So that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Here's what I know. I probably will never be done. let's just stand our feet. Let's just continue this deal to next week. Because here's, I got revelation from the Lord one time. He says, just stop, continue next week, no big deal. Because when you're, it gave me a lot of freedom. And it probably given you, just thank you, Lord. Because the reality is there's many themes that God is doing in our hour. So can we just stand and just, let's just, somebody's praying in the house. Somebody's praying. Thank you, Lord. All right. Can you move this out? All right, Jesus, thank you. So good to be in your house. So good to be with your family. So good to, I just invite you later. I invite you to three things. I invite you to spend time with Jesus tomorrow. And maybe you've, I pray against the distraction tomorrow morning. Just raise your hands if you're having trouble with just connecting with the Lord in the morning. It's okay. Just I've had many seasons. Many seasons. Father, we thank you. You see the people's hearts. Father, I ask you, God, to draw them in again. Draw them in. It says in Psalm 27:4 that the one thing I desire is to be in your presence. It's the one thing. May it be the one thing again. But later on, it says, if you need a little help with the one thing, he says that in verse 8, that he taps you on the shoulder and says, would you come with me? I delight in you. And when you were sleeping, I kept you in my presence. I've kept you and you remained in me. You came, you woke up with me. You went to bed with me. I watched over you. I danced over you. You know, the great high priest, you know, the one who actually doesn't let the Father give him any rest is the great intercessor. His name is Jesus. He's always praying for us, and we need revelation of that. He's always praying for us. In fact, when you're sleeping, he's praying. May you have dreams and visions while you sleep. May you have encounters with the Lord when you sleep. Father, we pray that you melt the hearts of the people, hearts that have been bitter, hearts that have been cold, hearts that need just a coming away again, coming away in Jesus' name. A confidence. Do you know what the presence of God produces in you? It's confidence. Not arrogance, but confidence. Confidence in who you are and who he is a rest. He's called us into rest. He's called us into greater rest. Amen. Another thing I want to invite you in that's very practical is I pray that we would join a family this week. If you're in college, get into a life group. If you're in young adult ministry and you're in families, come. Can I just say it's not perfect? He's not inviting you into a perfect family because you're not perfect and they're not perfect, but he's inviting us into fellowship and friendship and learning about God from one another. If you want to learn about God, you can't learn about God by yourself. I learned so much about the heart of God from one another. I learn about God from each other. I learn about prophetic ministry and how God speaks to them through dreams and how he speaks to others, how they're just fiery evangelists. The house of God, this family is so rich. Just get to know them. Just say it with me. I need you and you need me. We need one another. He's inviting us again into that. He's inviting us in to the mission. If you're just even remotely curious, and can I say if we're in the spirit, we will be, because the mission never changes. He's always called us to the nations. Come with us and have lunch with us after church. Just rest a while. Take your shoes off. Take your jacket. Just rest with the family of God. Some of us need to just remove those anxieties in Jesus' name. Remove all that, just that busybody. God's not called us to be busybodies. He's called us to be lovers. He's called us to be worshipers. He's called us to be friends. He's called us in. This is a new day, a new hour. It's powerful. He's called us to be the people of God, and the people of God spend time with him, with one another, and we are called and sent out as friends, not out of duty. Guys, I'm not calling you into Christianity. I'm calling you to Jesus. Who wants Jesus? I want Jesus. I want more of him. I need more of him. And when I get more of him, guys, we will reach 200 nations. We're going to reach the unreached people groups. We will finish the task. There's no doubt in my mind. Generation Z, it is your day. It is your hour. Can I just have Generation Z? Who are those who were born 1996 and above? Just raise your hand. 1996 and above. Yes, God, thank you for Generation Z. They are the finishing generation. It's the last alphabet, last letter of the alphabet. Thank you, God. You are the ones who will finish the task. Can we just have you come up? We want to pray for you in the next generation. Those who have been with us for 2, 4, 6 years, we will bless you. My son, Caleb, come on up. Yeah. Come on. Let's go. Let's do this. Come on. The Generation Z, come up. We want to pray for you. And those who have been with us for a while, we just want to bless them and pray for them. They are the next generation. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in our midst. Father, bless them in Jesus' name. May we encounter you this morning and be forever changed.